We think about these things. Again, in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, let us hold fast the profession, some versions say, as the New King James does, the confession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promise. You might want to underscore in your Bible. He is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. I appreciate our brother Alex for doing a great job in reading that. But just simply read it again just to have it fresh in our minds what we're talking about this morning. How valuable is it to assemble together? Not just on Sunday, but Wednesday, and when we have the opportunity to do so. Why is that important? Well, it's important for several reasons, and the first one that I want to give you is really what you might think of is just really a no-brainer. You might think, well, preacher, everybody knows that. Well, maybe we do think about that from time to time, but I want you to think about this. First of all, because God said so. I've said that from the pulpit time and time again or various different things. If for no other reason, we assemble together and it's important to come together because God said so. You believe that's a valid reason? I do too. In fact, I try to impress upon Ethan when he says, why? Because I said so. And I remember my dad telling me that over and over and over. Because I said so. I understand that there's things we need to explain so that they know why. But if for no other reason, we're here because God commanded us to be here. Are we aware of that? We just read, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And hopefully you can appreciate that more as we've studied through the book of Hebrews. That in the context of that, He is dealing with these Christians who are leaving Christianity, or in danger of leaving, and turning back to try to serve God under the Old Testament law of Moses. And He's saying, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. Evidently, some have been doing that. But exhorting, encouraging one another, admonishing one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. It's important to be here because God said so. You know, keeping the commandments of God is important. Like Revelation 22:14 that I've used numerous times, but I hope if that is in your mind, and you'll think about that when the Bible says, blessed are they that do His commandments. How often it is that we hear individuals in the religious world say that we are not under any law at all, that God is not concerned with doing X, Y, and Z, it's just about loving God in your heart. You can't separate the love of God from the obedience to God, can you? Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into that city. You want to go to heaven? I do too. Then we need to keep the commandments of God. And when the Bible says, don't fail to assemble together, don't forsake that, which means a casting away, the word forsake, a casting away, a laying aside of, forsaking that. He says, don't do that. And when He says, don't do that, then we better not do that. You agree with that? Well, there's a lot of other verses that would talk about keeping the commandments of God. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, now think about this. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and what? Do not the things that I say. There's a hymn that we sing, and I love the hymn. It's a beautiful hymn. Oh, how I love Jesus. I love that hymn. And we ought to love God, and we ought to love Jesus. Especially in light of what they have done for us. But may the case never be that that falls from our lips, and yet at the same time we're guilty of not obeying Him. Why call you me Lord, Lord, He says, and not obeying Him? Or in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Are we keeping His commandments? If we're not keeping His commandments, if I'm not keeping His commandments and I don't love the Lord the way that I should. If you're here this morning, you never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You never put the Lord on in baptism. Folks, we can say, I love the Lord. I love God. But we don't love Him the way we should until we do that and obey Him. And serve Him to the best of our ability all the days of our life. And certainly, we want to please God. But that's not the only reason. It's a good reason. And again, if that were the only reason, it would be reason enough. Because God said so. But I want to give you a few more. And I hope that we think about these and that we thought about them and continue to do so. Because of its impact on the local body, sometimes we don't look at assembling together from this perspective. Sometimes we look at it as though, well, you know what, I've had a week, perhaps a long week, and I've not been able to get out too much, and you know, if I go, I'll have the opportunity just to kind of socialize. And listen, there's nothing wrong with spending time while we're here talking to one another and checking on one another. And how did your week go? And this is how my week's been. And so forth. That is vital. You know, sometimes we get here just at the last minute, and by on purpose perhaps sometimes. We just plan to be here at the last minute, and sometimes as soon as the opportunity arrives, we're gone. And we've split. We went to the left, to the right, to the back, and before you know it, we didn't even speak to one another. That happens, and it ought not happen. We ought to take the time to speak to one another, and I know there's times when we have to be in a hurry to get to certain places and do certain things. But folks, it's important for us to take the time for one another. And if I have the mentality that I don't have to take the time, or you're not worth my time, I'll never assemble the way that God would have me to. Because why should I? Because in doing so, I'm giving up what? Time. I'm giving up time. And you know, Donnie Oliver only has 24 hours in a day, and my time's precious. Well, you know what? Donnie Oliver just needs to get over that, because you're here and your time's precious too, just as precious as mine. And you're here. What about others? It does have an impact on the local body. Of course, the body being the church, you're aware of that. The body is the church, Colossians 1:18, verse 24, and Ephesians chapter 1 talks about that. But it has an impact on one another, especially when you think about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, as we're very well familiar with that verse. But then look how that is prefaced. Look at how what comes before that. In verse 24, the Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. That means I've got the responsibility to consider you, each and every one of you. Each and every one of you. To encourage you and provoke you to love and to good works. And how can that be done? How's one of the ways? Notice the next verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. There's work to be done in service to God. And we need to be here to encourage one another. You know that you're an encouragement to me when you're here? Am I an encouragement to you when I'm here? Or look around and ask that question. Is a person beside you, in front of you, behind you, an encouragement to you when they're here? Would anyone dare raise their hand and say they're not an encouragement to me? I wouldn't raise my hand today. Because you are. But if your presence encourages, what does your absence do? What does my absence do? That discourages when we're not here. When I say I know that I'm to do that. I know that they are there. I know that it encourages them, but I'm not going to do that. And so it does impact the local body. And again, we need to have the mind that says, I'm interested in other people. I am interested in others. And in this time and day, age, however you want to call it, it's sometimes difficult to do. Our younger generations have more and more difficulty many times doing that. Do you know why? Because in many ways we've reared up a selfish generation. It's all about me. What's in it for me? How do I stand to benefit from it? What am I going to get out of it? Instead of, what am I giving to somebody as far as time and concern? When you have the time, go back and read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. When he sums that thought up, or makes a statement in verse 5 by saying, let this mind be also or be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. To esteem the needs of others more than ourselves. And you're so good at that in a lot of ways. But I want to encourage all of us to be the best that we can when it comes to assembling with those of like precious faith. Because it does impact the local body in a lot of different ways. In so many more ways than what we're even able to talk about this morning. Remember Colossians 3:16? We talked about singing, teaching, and admonishing one another. Remember that? I tell you, Ray did a great job. He's to be commended for the fine fashion and job in which he led the singing this morning. The song service was excellent. You did a great job. Had I not been here, I would have missed that. That was encouraging. Yes, we're singing praise to God. He's the object of our worship. Mark's done a great job this quarter on worship. Edifying the body. You see how it's important? You encourage me by your singing. We encourage one another by our singing and teach one another as we sing these spiritual hymns or hymns with a spiritual nature. But there's another reason. And that is because of its impact on one's spiritual life. I want you to do the math. Now, I'm not a mathematician. I'll give you that right off the top. You know, sometimes we have the attitude, and I don't think I've used this illustration with you before, maybe I have, but sometimes we have the attitude, well, I can go one time a week and I can learn just as much as what those folks are learning when they go every time the door's open. Do you buy into that? You know, the Bible says that we're commanded to grow. In fact, we've taught that. We've talked about that from the book of Hebrews. Let's go on unto perfection. To grow to spiritual maturity. And so forth. So we can become able teachers and teach other people the good news of Christ. But do the math. If you were to come once a week and every service you were able to learn at least one thing and walk away from that service having learned one thing about the Bible, at the end of the year, how many facts would you know about the Bible? You know 52, right? Now, you do the math. But suppose you came Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening, and you learned one thing at each of those services about the Bible. Now, times that by 52. And then times that over a 10-year period and see who learned more about the Bible. You see, it just doesn't make sense to say that I can grow just as much as if I were to take advantage of every opportunity afforded to me. To learn about the Word of God. It does impact our spiritual life. Not just because of our knowledge. Yes, we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, as mentioned in 2 Peter 3:18. And we're to meditate day and night upon the Word of God, Psalm 1, 1 through 3. And a host of other passages talk about studying the Word of God. But I need to be here and learn that. And be with those of like precious faith and encourage them. And be enthusiastic with them about that. Hebrews chapter 5 and 6 again talks about, as I made mention just a moment ago, about growing to spiritual maturity. But not only that, not only learning, but folks, we are here to worship our Creator. Now think about that. The very being who is so much more powerful than what you or me or anyone else can ever possibly fathom. Who took dust, dirt, elements, and created man. And breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul, Genesis 2:7. And yet that very being desires for us to worship Him. And He's made provision for that. John 4:24, that they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth. That God is a spirit. And so we come together to do that very thing. It has an impact on my spiritual life. And you know as well as I do that when an individual falls away, that often the case is that it's gradual. That it's gradual. A lot of times it doesn't just happen overnight. Because when we obey the gospel of Christ, we come up out of the watery grave just filled with enthusiasm and zeal, and our hearts are on fire, for lack of a better way to put it, for the Lord, and we want to share that with people, and we want to live that before others. And so it doesn't just happen overnight that all of a sudden I quit. But often the case is that before that happens, what's one of the red flags that takes place? I begin to miss. I'll miss Sunday morning here or there, Sunday night here or there, Wednesday, and before you know it, I'm missing more than I'm coming. And then before much time goes by, it seems, you look around and where's Donnie at? What happened to him? Again, I know that we're busy. I try to stay busy too. But when that begins to happen, we need to jump on it. And I fail in that sometimes. But when the case is that it's time and time that an individual's not, we need to jump on that, because it's much easier to encourage that person when they are just beginning to slip than it is to win them back once they're back out into the world. It impacts my spiritual life to be able to be here. But there's another reason that I want us to think about, and that is because of its impact on those outside of the church, on those outside of the body. Nobody pays attention to that, I might say, or you might say. Nobody pays attention to whether or not there's you're having service here and people are walking into the building and we're here week to week. Nobody cares about that. Yes, they do. Give you an example. I recently, within the last few weeks, I guess prior to us leaving, had an individual in this community that lives very close to the building who said, I've noticed that the members who come every week, and that they're faithful in their attendance. I've noticed that it looks like there's a good amount of people that go there. And every week I see the same ones coming back. People do see that. People do pay attention to that. And it does leave an impression in the minds of those outside of the body. But not just people in the community. Visitors. You know how blessed we are here to have visitors on almost a weekly basis here. And Mark, again, does a great job in sending those cards out if we have opportunity and power to send a note to him in appreciation. And often the case is that individuals will assemble together with us. Now, they didn't have to. There's other places they could have gone. But they come here. And then what happens if an individual comes and this is up here for everyone to see? And they say, well, 77 people? I thought I only counted 30 people. What happened? You think people take note of that? I'm not jumping on anyone. I'm just pointing that out, that individuals pay attention to that. It doesn't matter if it's at Mill Street or anywhere. I could preach this sermon anywhere, and it would be just as applicable as it is this morning to us. We've just got to know that the need to assemble is important for a number of reasons. And what are people going to take away when they come to assemble with us? Are they going to take away, I enjoyed that? The people were friendly there. They were enthusiastic about what they were doing. They were serious about what they were doing. Book, chapter, and verse, teaching, so forth. I want to go back You know, by and large, people want to be part of a group that is serious about what they're doing, don't they? That's enthusiastic about that. And so it does have an impact on those outside of the body. And we are commanded in place like Matthew chapter 5, 16 to let our light shine before others. Not that they see our good works and pat us on the back, but that they may see our good works and give glory to God, who deserves all the glory for everything. It makes a difference. But there's another one as we come to a close shortly. Its impact on future generations. I remember my dad sharing with me that his father and some of the older men that he can remember them talking either before or after service and worry about what is going to happen to the church when we're gone. What's going to happen when we're gone? Let me ask you this. When all of the older ones here have done their work and their toil and they have went on to wait for their reward, to await the judgment, what's going to happen with the church here? It does have an impact on future generations. The older people are an asset to the younger people. And I hope that the younger people are viewed as an asset to the older ones. Vital to the continuance of a congregation is our attendance at the assembly. If everyone attended like me, how strong of a church would this be? Now, I'm not saying as Donnie Ellis, but as an individual, you've got to ask yourself that question. If everyone attended like such and such, what would this congregation be like? Stronger or weaker? Do I have room to improve? If I do, I need to improve. It does have an impact on future generations. Chapter 4 of 1 Timothy verse 12. When Paul's writing to Timothy, he instructs him to be an example of the believers and lists various ways in which he's to be an example in. What type of example are we set before our children and before the young people? And it's not confined just to my household, to just setting a good example before my wife and Ethan and Carson in time to come. But what kind of example am I setting for everyone else? From the youngest to the oldest. A good example? I hope so, that we are. And then there's one more that I want you to think about. And I realize that there is so much more that can be said in a sermon like this and the need about it. But I know that we can make improvements, generally speaking. And I'll start with myself. To do better in areas. To better exhort others. To assemble better. I've went to very few, and I can't even recall right off the top of my mind it, right off, congregations that was not experiencing that gap in the attendance. You know, you had more on Sunday morning, less on Sunday night, and even less than that on Wednesday. Most places, that's the story. And again, I know there's reasons. I know that it's difficult for individuals with bad eyesight to be able to see after dark and so forth. But I'm reminded of a slogan, I don't know who penned this or coined it, where there's a will, there's a way. If we want to assemble, and my desire is I want to assemble, but I don't have a ride, there's a multitude of us that has a car that can that will step up and do that. If the case is I want to assemble, but I can't see, there's a host of us that can see well enough to come and get you and bring you to services. Or whatever the case may be that we can help with to provoke unto love and to good works as we consider one another. That's what it's about. In a few short weeks, we're going to have our spring meeting. Normally scheduled in May, but it's been put to June. I think the plan still is. With Johnny Edwards. And it's my understanding that for a long time, you have scheduled your meetings at the same time in the spring and the fall. I think maybe the third week in May, the third week in September, whatever it may be. And so what that tells me, and what that tells you, is that every year we know next year there's going to be a gospel meeting. 7 o'clock each night. I need to make preparation. Let's not let it be the case that people come and they wonder, where are the members at Mill Street when we have a meeting, or we have a worship service to worship God, or whatever the case may be, or a Bible study. That we understand the importance of assembly. And we are going to assemble every time I can physically be here. I remember a good friend of ours, actually, he's the one that's going to hold the meeting for us, who will often say, visitors welcome, members expected at every service. Think about that. Not as I expect it, but God expects us to do His will and to be here. And I hope that that's been an encouragement to us as we close the lesson. That perhaps it may be that you haven't been assembling the way that you should. We understand there is an impact on one's eternal destiny. Didn't even really much talk about that. But if I've not been assembling the way that I should, then I need to recognize that, repent of that, and serve God better. And do better in service to Him, that heaven will be my home. Let us have fruits worthy of repentance. Let us do better. Let's strive that our attendance in the evening service will be just as important as that of the morning. Let us purpose that Wednesday night is going to be just as important to us as any other opportunity to encourage one another and to learn about God's Word. That if we can be here, we are going to purpose that this is where we will be when the saints of God assemble together. Perhaps you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Why not do that? Here's how you become a Christian. To hear the gospel, Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. To believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Repent of our sins. Change our attitude, our minds toward what we're doing. Stop doing wrong, begin to do that which is right. Acts 17:30. Confess our faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. To be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins, to rise to walk in newness of life. Acts 2:38. We want you to do that because we want you to go to heaven. But perhaps you have done that, but you've fallen, you've turned your back on the Lord, not been living your life the way that you should. Why not repent of that? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. If you're subject to the gospel call, we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.